Go with me, if you will, first to Daniel chapter 11. Now, I gave you a litany of nations who will come together, aligning themselves, formed into a coalition, and their lowest common denominator is the Islamic faith. The first two I gave you were Syria in the north, the king of the north here in Daniel 11, 40 to 45, and the king of the south, Egypt. I want to show you what is going to happen, the final solution, as we look at the book of Daniel. We'll spend time, the final solution from Daniel, the final solution from Ezekiel, the final solution from Revelation, and the final solution from Obadiah. See, God's prophetic word has the answers to all the questions we may have. What is going to happen? When is it going to happen in history? I want to try to, with this skeleton roadmap up here, put some meat on the skeleton and help you understand what the final solution is. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 40. At the time of the end, again specific in his designation of when this is going to happen, at the time of the end shall the king of the south, that is Egypt, push at him. And again, I spent a little time yesterday. If you want to dig into Daniel, I have a whole series of tapes or studies on Daniel, but him here is referring to the Antichrist. So at the time of the end, shall the king of the south, Egypt, push at the Antichrist, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind as well. Now, we gave you an illustration of what it's talking about, why it would be referring to the Antichrist here, is because the Antichrist, when he comes on the scene, he will establish a covenant with the Jewish people. It says, and he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice to cease. He shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Interesting phrase there in Daniel 9:27. It never says that he, the Antichrist, is going to sign a peace treaty. Never does it say that in Scripture. I always used to say, when he signs the peace treaty, then we have the evidence that the Antichrist is. No, the word is gabar in Hebrew, and it means exactly what the King James translates it to be: confirm, strengthen, make stronger. Basically, that means that there's a peace agreement on the table. Well, there are three of them right now. The Camp David Accords between Israel and Egypt, the 25th anniversary was this last Tuesday of Anwar Sadat coming to Jerusalem. That journey to Jerusalem, which was a landmark historic event in all of the history of both the Jewish people and the Egyptian people, when he offered to establish peace. We know ultimately what happened. The Camp David Accords came into existence, but he was then assassinated by his own people, by people, by the way, connected with Osama bin Laden today and the Al-Qaeda network. Then you have in September of 1993, September the 13th, the Oslo Accords. The Oslo Accords, the peace agreement between Israel and the Palestinian people. And then you have in 1994, October the 26th, and Judy and I were at this peace treaty signing in Israel, this peace treaty signing between Israel and Jordan. But none of those peace agreements are really truly working. None are being normalized. They are not being normalized. They are on the table, not working, waiting for somebody to come along and confirm them. That's what the Antichrist does. So he confirms a peace treaty. And when this happens, this makes him then synonymous with the Jewish people. He has promised to protect them. Now from the north Syria attacks, from the south Egypt attacks, the Antichrist then comes into the glorious Holy Land, verse 41, and he's going to take care of business. He said, I told you I would take care of you. Now I'm going to do it, verse 41. And he shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. The intent in this context is that he goes to the north first, because then it says, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief children of Ammon, meaning he's moving south now, and then he's going to stretch forth his hand, verse 42, into Egypt. So then, as you look at the context, he goes to the north, he destroys Syria. He comes down to Ammon, Moab, and Edom, and he doesn't touch this location. And I suggest to you the reason he does not is because of the fact here now you have the location where God is going to preserve the Jewish people for the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Have you heard about Petra? God is going to protect the people. That is in southern Jordan. Thus, it's not in the text, but assuming from everything else I know, coming to a conclusion because of all the scriptures I understand, that is, he will not touch Jordan because of the fact he's going to protect the Jewish people there. So he destroys Syria, comes down through Jordan, doesn't touch it, goes into Egypt. And they shall not escape, verse 42 says, 43, but he shall have power over the treasures of gold and over silver and over all the precious things of Egypt, and then the Libyans and the Ethiopians. He is going to destroy these two nations, the first two nations that are coming at them. The final solution for Egypt, for Syria, early on, right after the peace agreement is signed, and I'll give you evidence of that in just a moment, at the beginning of the seven-year tribulation period, Antichrist is used to start to wipe out some of the major players in the Islamic world. Syria, the fifth largest military might in the world. Syria, known as Greater Syria, controlling Lebanon. Lebanon is not a sovereign state. 40,000 Syrian soldiers, as I speak, controlling Lebanon. The leadership of Lebanon never make a decision without checking first with Damascus, Syria. And so Syria will be destroyed. The most populated Arab country in the world, 88 million people and growing by a million every 8 months. We're talking about Egypt. And so these are destroyed. Now it starts to hint and give us some information about the other countries in verse 43, the Libyans and the Ethiopians, verse 44, out of the east and out of the north. And those are the nations that are described over here in the book of Ezekiel. Go to Ezekiel now, chapter 38, and let's continue to follow and see what God is going to do. The final solution, what is going to happen? The final solution, and as we trace through this, we see how the hand of the Lord is moving in a position, in a way, to set up and then finalize the scenario that is laid out in the Word of God. Ezekiel chapter 38, the Word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, that's the personality, in the land of Magog, that's the place, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Look down in verse 6, Gomer and all of his bands, the house of Togarmah, the north country. Now, when I talk about Magog, remember Gog, the personality, Magog is referring to, and I think we talked about this the other day, it is talking about the Ukraine and Russia. That is the geographical location where Magog was at the time Ezekiel wrote. You might remember that it was the Ukraine that established the fatherland Russia. I don't know if you know that or not, but the king of the Ukraine had his son, the crown prince, heir apparent, go into that piece of geography we know today as Russia, to a place called Moscow, and establish Russia. He went to St. Petersburg, where our president today is. He went to St. Petersburg, and there they established Russia. That's Magog. Then Meshech, Tubal, Gomer, Togarmah, modern-day Turkey. Go back to ancient Turkish maps. Turkey was divided into four parts, Meshech, Tubal, Gomer, Togarmah, modern-day Turkey. Coming to verse 5, we look at Persia. That was the name of the geographical location known today as Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and all the stands. You can go to any map. You can look at the Persian Empire. You can see how they were. That is what we know as Iran, Pakistan, Afghanistan, and the other stands, those six republics. There were six republics in the former Soviet Union under the leadership of Russia early on before the Soviet Union came apart. So we're talking about that geographical location of the world. And that's who he's talking about when he says Persia, Ethiopia. That is referring to Somalia, Sudan, and Ethiopia itself. And then Libya, and referring to the lone country of Libya. And so these are the players are going to come against, in a coalition, Israel.